Well, hello. God bless you. It's Bishop Todd at Agape Church. So glad to be here during this as we await our Resurrection Sunday services. We are so glad that God has blessed us with life and that abundant through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray for Christians who are suffering all around the world. We pray against the spirit of suicide that's in our world today. And we pray that we can ask the Lord at any time for anything. And we don't have to have a cell phone to do it. We can just call on his name and he'll hear what we got to say. And we don't even have to call him collect. He just receives our calls immediately. Today, I want to say, but I want to give you just some nuggets from each part of what God has put on my heart. I have just got back from a revival with Roberts Learden, and I bought one of his books. I didn't have a chance to get some of the others. I'll get them off his website, but the name of the book that really inspired me is called Final Approach, The Adventure of End Times Living, and I believe that Jesus is coming back soon, but until he comes, he wants us to occupy. That's a military term. Hold on and hold out and be about his business of war. You know that life is war. Every day is war. It's war for me sometimes to get up out of the bed, especially on Sunday. I want to go to the beach. But anyway, that's the way it is. What can I tell you? Life is war. And Jesus is a warrior. And he's the one who guides warfare. But the warfare leads to our good. It shapes us and it helps us to become who he wants us to be. There's something about suffering and going through hard times that helps it helps our souls to rise to the occasion and grow thereby, along with his word, as he helps us step by step to go through every situation that we have to go through. The problem is not let Satan get us all caught up on where we are in our lives, but to know that he's there with us. You know, sometimes I get so fired up. I've got to tell y'all, this is a gospel for the glory of Jesus at KRAJ 100.9 FM in the Antelope Valley. Come up and see us sometime. But anyway, now we got that over with. Now the producer's happy. Okay, we're going to look at the word. You know, we're here at Agape. We believe in spirit and truth. We're Baptocostal. You know, we believe in the preaching and teaching of the word, that the Bible is our command. I'd say our book for warfare, our survival manual that we used to have when I was in the military. And we need the Spirit. The Spirit helps us to understand the Spirit of God. That's what it is, the Spirit of God in us. That keeps the word from being dry, you know, but also the word keeps the spirit from getting too out of hand. So thank God for a spiritual balance that we are able to attain when we do things the way he says to do it. And that's the only way we know how to do it, is to let him do it through us. When we got saved, our bodies became his bodies. Our eyes became his eyes. My hands are his hands. My feet are his feet. I go where he tells me to go. I touch the people he wants me to touch. I refrain from saying things that are not correct and that are not wonderful and loving and kind. And I'm not trying to build up my own kingdom. So I thank God that he's given me that kind of understanding of his word and his orders and his marching orders. So I'm appreciative to be in his army. It's a volunteer army, but also I'm a bond slave to him. So, you know, it's not for me to have to develop the strategy. It's already there. Preach the word in season and out. And study to show yourself approved, Christian. Today we're going to be talking about what it is to be a quality Christian. Roberts Learden, that was the main thing he was talking about. He said, it's time for church folks to understand how to survive in these end times just by working and being about God's business. He said in his book, Final Approach, he said, hey, We need some, it's time for us to have some quality church members, you know, people who keep their word, who are committed to Christ and do the things God says in regards to being holy and to be perfect. But that holiness and perfection, what God is talking about, is your heart being given to him completely. It's not that we don't have, we all of us got problems and situations, all of us got those little sins. And I tell you, you know, the only one I know that doesn't commit sin is my producer. He don't sin at all. So, hey, you know, y'all need to know the fella. But, you know, hey, I mess with it. But you think you all that in a bag of chips. Some of y'all not even coming to church sometime. And I'm not mad at you. Don't cut me off yet. You know, God is trying to get us to understand that he wants us to be committed Christians, committed to him. And he will bring on the change that's going to come. By us just focusing on him in time, if we let time do its thing, let time be time and work out the problems. With him, you'll see yourself being modified and changed to what he wants you to be in the image of him. If you're living a life where you're trying to do all the change, well, I'm still working on it. I got this problem. I'm trying to work on it. Well, stop working on it and give it to God. Amen? All right, that was free. Now, let's go on with, what we have here for you. First of all, in becoming a quality Christian, you got to get your life together. You got to get your house right. And I know some of y'all heard me say it before. But you got to, first of all, number one, you need to prioritize your life in regards to who you're going to love first. What's your love priority? And is that you got to love God. You got to love him first. You know, if you read the Ten Commandments, it's talking about have no other God before thee. And all of us, we know that before we got saved, we had all kind of gods. You know, I know people, their temple is the gym. They think if they go to the gym every day, they're going to live forever. And you know, all they're going to do is die and have a perfect body. And their soul going to go somewhere else, separated from God forever. It's time to get your priorities right. Find out what God wants you to do. His thing is love him. It's not talking about serving and working and all that stuff. That comes when after you really know how to love him, you know how to serve him. To love him is to serve him. Another name for obedience is love. When you love somebody, that's why we husbands. We'll go out in the middle of the night, 11 o'clock. Wife said, I want some ice cream. Oh, Lord, it's 20 degrees out there. I said, but I love you, girl. I'm going to go and get in the car and go and get this ice cream for you, baby. What kind do you want? Pistachio. Okay, I'm going to get it for you. Okay. Now, but see, her love comes second. I got to tell you that right now. But you know, after I've done the thing the Lord told me, then I got to do the honeydews too. Amen. Anyway, so you can love yourself before you love the Lord. You can love your family, your wife, your husband, your car, your this, your that. I know guys that love their lawn more than they love people. They get out there and cut the grass. They want it to be blue, green, bluegrass. It's people with all kind of different priorities. But he didn't say you can't love your grass. No, I'm saying, I didn't mean it like that. Your grass in your front yard. I know some other folks that love that other kind of grass. But we want you to know that God wants you to put all your priorities, his priorities first. Loving him, serving him. Being a representative of the kingdom, looking right, acting right, dressing right. It's even in Peter, it tells you women how to dress. You know, and you know, I'm sorry, I hate to go to Walmart sometimes because it's scary. I've seen some scary stuff in Walmart. And some of them are church members. Pajamas okay, I'm getting into people's business. I better stay out of that. One sister was in there with hair rollers in her head, and it was a scary sight. I never saw her like that before. So I didn't know who she was. Hey, Pastor, who are you? So we got to understand that being a king's kid, you have to understand there's a certain refinement that God is trying to help you to have, that Jesus exuded in by being the Son of God. It wasn't what he was wearing. It was him. It was him. It was his spirit. And people with the right spirit, it just, you release that spirit on people, and they know that you know, they know you know the Lord. They stop cussing around you. They stop fussing around. They wait until you leave. Then they go back and do their own thing. I've seen it too many times. So Christians, start not being ashamed of being who you are. Allow God, allow your love to show, and to not be embarrassed that you're a Christian. When you go anywhere you go, you have a certain spiritual dignity that you walk in. That way you'll know what God's expectations are. He knows he can use you. And if you turn your doing his business first, he will fix your business. Now we want to look at how to gain some of these things, how to be able to gain this passion that God wants you to have, how to gain the insight you need, and so that you can know how to walk this life of, what we said, warfare while you're here. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. And you know, I'm going to read out of the Amplified today. It says, therefore, humble yourselves. And their note here is, lower yourselves in your own estimation. My word for humility is, become teachable like a little child. Become teachable so that you can learn the things of God. Under the mighty hand of God, as God is guiding you. So, you know, for God to guide you, you got to be born again. Born again means that you have gained the mind of Christ. And when you're born again, it means you become a spiritual child. And as a spiritual child, there's two things you got to learn how to do. You got to learn how to walk, and you got to learn how to talk. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Yes, sirree. You got to learn how to walk and talk. And because we are the body of Christ, and he's the head, that means that we've got to grow and connect to him. Let his spirit connect us so that we become this awakened and alive and joyful people who have a garden in our heart filled with this, with love and all the other nine, the fruit of the spirit, so that God can, as he under his hand, he goes in and gardens our heart, and our fruit comes forth. And he knows what you need, what fruit you need to develop first. All of us are not in the same boat. Some of us got more patience than others. Some of us got more self-control than others. But you might have some other issues. You might not like to suffer long. Long suffering is one of those fruit that's hard to get sometimes. And the hardest one is self-control. Because that's the same word for temperance, and that means that God has got to put you in the fire over and over again, like you're developing a sword. You know, you got to heat it and beat it. Heat it and beat it. Boom! Yes. Put it in the water. Oh man, y'all know, y'all getting the picture, right? Okay. So that's how God, through that suffering, and through the going through, allowing him to guide your life, no matter where you are. All of us on a different journey. All of us on a different journey for him, but. Because we don't know the puzzle and how it goes. But he uses us as pieces, and as he places us as pieces in his puzzle, it will come out all right. Okay? All right. So that we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he will exalt you. The word exalt means that he will lift you up. Part of being saved is that he redeems us. That means he puts us back on the top shelf from which we fell. A lot of us don't realize that as sinners, we've fallen from the heights of glory that God would have us. But he wants to put us back. And that's why Christ came and died for us. His blood made it so that now we are in a position to become the sons of God. And that's what he's wanted for us. And how do you do that? 7 says, casting the whole of your care. In other words, it says here, all of your anxieties. The Bible says, don't be worried about anything. Don't let God fix it. You know, I love those old songs. Jesus will fix it after a while. You know, he will. He'll fix it if you let him. I think it's Proverbs 20:22 that talks about that. Allow him, give God the opportunity to fix the things and the problems and situations between you and people. Stop worrying about your kids and going through that. Let them go through their journey. If they're 18, 19, 20, 21, 35, whenever they get out of your house, let them go through. Yeah, some of y'all trying to spoil these kids so much We know you love them, but we know the economy is crazy. But whenever they get out there on their own, don't be always over to their house, cooking dinner and making the wife mad and all the other things that take place. Let them grow up and let God take them through what they needed. If Christ went through suffering down here, that was going to make him even greater. Surely God is going to let us go through some things too. And then that's, I'm just paraphrasing what the Bible says. Casting the whole of your care, all of your worries and problems on him. This is verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. He's watching your life. He's taking care of you. He wants you to become what you're supposed to become because you love him. And you know all the things he has for you that you go through, good or bad, is for your good. I think that's Romans 8:28. And you need to know why you have to go through these things. Look at verse 8. Be well balanced. It means temperate, sober of mind. That temperate means, and I believe this for myself, self-control is the last fruit that you develop. I don't care who you are. For me, because I didn't realize self-control meant that I had the control. I found out that I'm not in control of nothing, especially the usher board. No, I'm not in control of anything. But that God is in control. And when I give myself to be under his control, that's when I get self-control as a residue. He lets me think I'm in control, but he really is the one in control. God is something else, y'all. He makes me laugh all the time. People get mad at me because I laugh all the time. But you know what? When you laugh, that's like spitting in the devil's eye. When you don't allow him to take your joy. And usually when I say this, somebody's going to mess my joy, trying to mess my joy up. I'm going to bust them upside the head down to the white meat. But that's okay. They'll get over it. But it says, your enemy, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring. That means he's a fierce hunger. He's looking somebody he can devour. I think King James says. Seeking someone to seize upon and devour. He's out to destroy Christians. He knows sinners. He's got them so far. But he's out to destroy and eat Christians' lives. He's out to destroy you. And I think sometimes the world throws a haze around us and keeps our minds so cut up that we're not responsive to understanding that. But it says he's like a lion. It didn't say he was a lion. He's like a lion. But Christians need to know that when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, it's like Jesus living inside of you, and the devil is so afraid of you. He's trying to keep you inactive. He's trying to keep the off button in your life off. But the Lord wants to turn your button on, but you just won't let him do it because you're so afraid and you won't let go. And I know I'm talking to somebody out there. Don't be turning the radio off now. You need to know that God is trying to turn on that dynamo that you got inside of you that you can stand up against anything or anybody in a loving and humble way. Sometimes when you want to win an argument, just start talking sweetly to the person. Change your voice. Don't be getting as loud as they are. Just soften your voice. Bring down that decibel level. And start to listen and ask the Lord to speak to them through you, through your heart. Heart speak. And that's where all your treasure is, anything about God that you put. That's where you keep putting everything in the first place. And if I'm giving you too much now, if you want the beginner's lesson, come to the church, and we'll get you into Sunday school, and we'll give you all the good stuff you need to get. But I'm trying to give you the shotgun method of broadcasting the seed. I'm trying to give something for everybody, okay? The advanced and the elementary and those that spiritual PhDs. I'm trying to get everybody, okay? All right, so what God wants you to become? And I don't know what my time is. Oh, let me give you a few. Number one, he wants you to become responsible. Take ownership of yourself. Stop talking about it ain't my fault. Always in denial. If you did it, you did it. If it messed up, you messed up. Everybody does. Okay? But take responsibility for yourself. And the only way you can please God is give yourself to Christ as a soldier in the army. When I step forward And they said, and we said a little pledge when we were in the military, when we was getting ready to go, I was getting ready to go into the Air Force. After we said that, they said, you're now in the United States military. You are a GI. They said, what was that? You're a government issue now. You belong to the government. You don't belong to yourself anymore. And when I joined God's army, that's what I became, a GI, God issue. Okay? So by being God issue, I couldn't say, well, look here, can I go home and see my mom when she picks some biscuits for me? No, you get ready to go down here to Fort wherever, and that's where you're going to be. Okay, take responsibility. You're the one said the pledge, George, not me. Oh, okay. Two, mindset. Sometimes you got to deal with what you believe. Deal with what you believe, brothers and sisters. Some of y'all got some strongholds. Y'all believe in the wrong stuff. Y'all don't believe the lie of that devil. And the Lord's trying to get you to change your mind. It says Christ came here to deal with strongholds. Things that got your mind in a hole. And things that you think are the truth that has been a lie. Things you learned as a kid that's a lie. Things even your parents told you that was a lie. Things your Sunday school teacher didn't know no better. You got to understand, you got to let the Holy Spirit now become your disciple. Because he will lead you and guide you into all truth. And so, to get that passion, you need to make sure that you ask God to help you with your spiritual imagination so it can bring his dreams and your dreams to life. I'm going to stop right there. You know, when I was backslidden, you know, I was trying to make my dreams come true. I wanted to become a millionaire before 29, and then I was going to buy a church. I said, because, you know, I don't want to be beholden to the congregation. I can tell them to get out when they messed up. But the Lord didn't want that. So I had to do it his way. But, you know, his dreams are better than your dreams. And he's fulfilled me in so many ways, way beyond my ability to comprehend. So, if you want to start, if you want to gain what God wants you to gain while you can in this life, until he returns, and how to have an adventure during these end times, these last days, you need to ask him to, you need to humble yourself. And he will exalt you in due time. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and your truth. Thank you for this wonderful thing called radio so that we can get your message out. We look forward to this Resurrection Sunday in April, and we thank you for what you're going to do through us. Lord, we're going to be about building your kingdom and not our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.